Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins. We're talking video games and their music therein. Have a listen and hope you enjoy the show. Okay, so on a previous show, I said we were going to take a look at That Game Company. That Game Company is, and that's the name of the game company. It's called That Game Company, all in words. Anyway, last time I talked about Cloud, which was kind of like their first game when they were still students. But then what happened was that all the students got together, formed a company. One of the guys was the founder. And getting a contract with Sony, they had a 3-game deal with Sony to produce games, often for Sony platforms. And so what was their first game? Well, for their first game, they took one of the founder's Flash games that it made for his thesis and just kind of like revamped it into a full new game. The name of the game is Flow. And right now I'm just going to play it out for you so you can have a listen. Hope you enjoy. And this is Birth from the video game Flow. And that was Birth from the video game Flow. So, what exactly is Flow? Well, like I said, it was released by That Game Company, and it's kind of based on a Flash game that actually became very, very popular. The Flash game was originally developed by Genova Chen, and Chen, of course, was one of the founders of That Game Company and one of the guys who really focuses on the design aspects, and he also worked with Nicholas Clark. Essentially, it's kind of a weird game. You basically, in the Flash version or else in the Sony version, you start out as this little organism kind of thing with the large mouth, although you're represented by abstract symbols and you've got a very ambient, gradient background and all blurry effects. And you go around and essentially you find these little points, and when you hit one, you go down to the next level, and then you hit another point, it goes down to the next level. Although if you hit another point, it goes up again, so you can choose where you go up to a next level or down. And on each of these levels, there are all these other creatures there. And essentially, you've got a choice. Do you want to like try to attack them and sort of basically eat them? And then when you eat them, you kind of absorb their power and become more energized and get big and make you more powerful. Or do you just want to keep going through all the levels and get to the next one? So it's kind of, as you say, a bit of a very ambient game, very sort of like atmospheric game in terms of the music, in terms of the effects and the emphasis that it gets across. And in terms of gameplay, it's very kind of simple, more of an experience rather than actual like a challenge. I mean, you try to, obviously the challenge is more keep going down and try to get where you can. But I mean, you're not really dealing with huge amounts of challenges. And the game, especially with the game control on the PlayStation 3, which is kind of like motion sensing, which is kind of awkward, it can be awkward to get it. Generally, you get through by eating the enemies, but they might try to eat you. But if you get defeated, you go up a level, so then maybe you might go down. I'm honestly not the keenest on it, but I do think that it just has quite a nice atmosphere to it, and it's very nice. One of the things that Chen was trying to go for was as you can see in the name Flow, is try to go for flow. Now, a guy called Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi was a researcher who came up with the concept of flow and says that it's when we're at our happiest. The idea of flow is that we're completely engaged in a task. It's like being in the zone, completely tuned in. Your whole body is focused on this task or what you're doing. Time flies. You're getting a thrill. You just keep going next and next, and it's just a huge thrill. And essentially, Chen was trying to explore this concept with the game Flow to try to like get people to really experience a sense of flow. Now, for me, he failed. I'm sorry, but I've experienced flow with a lot of different video games, but I didn't quite experience it with this one. I guess one of the things is I need a bit more challenge. One of the things with flow is that you need to be put up with a challenge, but one that you can do, but one that there's a bit of a challenge. If you know from the start that you're going to defeat this level, then there's not really any suspense and you don't really go for it. And that's kind of how I felt with the game Flow. But for other people, you know, there's a free Flash version online called Flow. It's spelled F, lowercase L, uppercase O, and lowercase W. So obviously, Chen's being abhorrent with proper titling, spelling, grammar, and punctuation went far back before he decided to make a game company that was a concatenation of several different words. Aside from that, the game Flow is, like I said, available for Flash, so you can try it out. It's kind of a bit of a chill-out thing. It's kind of a bit of fun, but I'll leave you off with another track from this game. This one is called Glass, and after this we'll talk a bit about a game that's a little more higher tempo. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy. And what you just heard there was Glass. It was composed by Austin Wintory from Flow by That Game Company. And Austin Wintory also composed Birth, which I played earlier. And it'll also be popping up later when I play some music from Journey, also by That Game Company. So, you get that to look forward to. So, from a game that's very abstract, kind of indie, kind of atmospheric, and almost a bit of an art exhibition, and now we move to probably a very mainstream, very generic, very kind of like action pummeling sort of game. But even this one's kind of a bit one. I'm moving, of course, to the Fear series. Specifically, Fear 2 Project Origin by Monolith Productions. This is a game where you're basically a soldier and you're fighting in a freaking war zone, blasting through all these enemies, but at the same time, there's something not quite going on. Not only are you going through all these basically genetically engineered, telepathically controlled soldiers who are trying to kill you with their advanced guns and strategies and techniques, but there is also a small little psychic girl who is haunting you in visions and doing terrible things and seems to be more terrifying than all the genetically engineered soldiers combined together. Her name is Alma, and of course, if you've played the first game, aka Fear, then you'd already be familiar with her as she wreaks her havoc and you're making your way through all the tuning and things and everything, but always this horror thing goes along through it. And that's kind of what the game is composed of. A bit of horror, a bit of action, a bit of not sureing, being unafraid, seeing hallucinations, wondering what's going to happen, wonder what her terrible thing is, seeing her destroy people. And then you suddenly hear the voice come over the radio of some soldiers coming, closing in on your location, and suddenly you engage in fast antics, high-powered gunfight, slow motion act gunplay as you play around, try to blast them, shoot them, nail them to the wall using these things that shoot uranium rods, and just use all the weapons at your disposal to defeat the enemy, and then go on through this ruined city. Fear is actually a game that has a story that I always have a bit of difficulty following, but it's still a bit of fun. It takes place, of course, during and after the first game, and it also rejects the two expansions that came after the first game because they were made by Timegate Studios. This is kind of annoying because I played the first game, kind of liked it, then I played the expansions, which were basically kind of like add-ons, sort of semi-sequels, and they were pretty cool. And then I played Fear 2 and realized, wait a sec, we're forgetting all the stuff that happened in those expansions. And despite the fact that they're forgetting it all, because of course the developer didn't create it, they ended up ripping it off in subtle ways, such as like all the team members, and the fact that you reach an island using an underground passageway, and all this other little stuff, which I was going, and even the fact that the sequel starts during the first game, and then you end up seeing the initial explosion that ends the first game from a completely different perspective, which is all this other little stuff as well. So I was going, well, look, you're going to ruin it. You know, if you're going to rip off the material you're meant to be ignoring, you know, it kind of bugged me. But other than that, you end up seeing, you play a pretty good game. You go through buildings, the scenery is slightly less repetitive this time. You get to see a nice ruined city, although it's like pretty much every ruined city in a video game. It never seems to follow any logical sense. There's just random damage all around the place and lopsided cities and other buildings that seem to be terribly ruined yet are still standing up and seem largely structurally sound for some reason. And even the power still seems to be running, since at various parts you can shoot electrical parts which will electrocute enemies and as you go on. Another thing that's very much like a bullet point feature that's in the back of the box but only plays a small part in the game but it's still kind of memorable is that you get to, for short moments of the game, you get to dive into these great big mobile armored mechs. Basically these walking robots that shoot missiles and shoot really powerful machine gun. And then you walk through this ruined city saying to the people around you, here, I understand that you would respectfully like to engage me in standard firefight combat involving cover, ducking behind you, you know, sneaking up, pitched battles, strategic use of grenades and all this rest. But instead, I have decided to get into this gigantic freaking robot and blast you with incredibly powerful machine gun fire and also randomly shoot missiles when I feel so inclined. I understand that this may put you at somewhat of a disadvantage, but I am sure we can come to a common understanding, possibly once I have completely annihilated every single one of you. That is the sentiment that's generally expressed when you enter one of these gigantic robots, and when you do, there's also some pretty nice music that goes with it. I shall play you some of that music right now. And that was Inside Armored Unit. It was composed by Nathan Grigg from Fear 2 Project Origin by Monolith Productions. And the great thing about it is Nathan Grigg is quite a prolific composer. He's made music for a lot of other of the Fear games, including those expansions that I just momentarily ago said were so callously discarded and considered non-canon. But he's also made music for the Condemned series and No One Lives Forever, as well as Alien vs. Predator 2. So, very prolific. If you notice the Project Origin subtitle, subtitles are a kind of annoying constant thing in video games, but let us overlook that for now. It's for sequels, they're somewhat forgivable, but sometimes they appear even on even the first game in the series, which is somewhat curious. It's like decide on a title and stick with it. It's not that hard. But the point is, Project Origin was actually voted by a lot of people as the alternative title, since there was a bit of a legal kerfuffle with Fear 2, and apparently Monolith said... At one point, Monolith said out, listen, there's been a bit of a legal kerfuffle with our title. We can still make more Fear games, we just can't call them Fear games. So essentially, probably the worst part of this previous series of video games, i.e. a title that consists of an acronym called F-E-A-R, was essentially the only thing that they were going to lose from this legal wrangling. While other companies could make things under the Fear name, but obviously couldn't do more than that, you know. Monolith could still do the story. So they ended up doing this fan thing and said, oh great, Project Origin, you know, like, we'll use that as our title of the new game. But then they ended up getting the Fear title back, so then they just put the two titles together. So in this case, a subtitle is kind of justified, since you don't want to piss off the fans after they made such a strong effort to give you a new title. If you're asking me what Project Origin kind of stands for, honestly, I'm a little confused myself. There's actually a whole lot of different projects going on here. The story of Fear, in general, as it stands, is kind of silly. It boils down to an evil corporation with possibly ties to whatever, the American military complex or whatever, deciding that the best way to get strategy is to take an 8-year-old girl, kind of effectively do terrible, terrible things to her so that they can harness her psychic powers. They ended up having a lot of different projects going, so there's like Project Origin and then Project Icarus, and what was another project, for Thalidomide or something? I don't know. It's actually kind of funny because at one point of this game you actually get a PDA bit of intel that actually breaks down what each project is in the name right next to it. I'm thinking, boy, you know, maybe I should actually just write this down in a post and stick it right next to the monitor so I can keep track of all this sort of stuff. Because the truth is, if you're spending half the game being utterly terrified by terrifying visions of a girl who's of crazy power, who alternately changes between being a terrifying little 8-year-old pretty girl and a kind of disturbing teen, which is kind of like both terrifying in and of themselves, and then they're put together and thrown at you, and the other half of the game engaging in high tactical powered firefights, if you're spending the game doing both of those things, you don't quite have that much time to try to figure out exactly how the underlying thing of everything is going together, which works against the game. But given the fact that the story isn't exactly high class in the first place, you know, you're kind of giving it a bit of slack. It's decent enough for a game and stuff. But otherwise, what exactly is it about the games that works? Well, some people like the horror, some people like the gunplay. I like the gunplay. I think sometimes you need to break the gunplay up so that the horror is going on. I still like to collect all the little bits of intel so I learn the story, even though I end up not really remembering it that well and trying to thinking that it doesn't seem to make sense in the first place. But as you go along, you continue on, make your way through the city, you deal with a lot of little story points that you cannot change, even if it requires one of your squad mates dying. So this is a game that empowers you but also makes you feel powerless, because there's several things you can't actually control the story, you just put it into action. And then finally in the game you try to deal with an ending that is both crazy, insane, and tries to make you, doesn't make much sense. Obviously then you go online and try to read the story summary to make sure you actually got it or not. I'm sorry I'm not, I don't seem to be making much of an effort with this game story. I'm usually a lot better than this. It's just, I guess this game gives me enough other things to focus on at the same time. I'll leave you now with the theme of this game, the main theme, which is you should get some of the kind of Fear and like creepy little girl horror sort of aspects to it from this, and I think it sounds pretty damn good. So this has been David Collins with Bitnote. I'll leave you with the main theme by Nathan Grigg from Fear 2 Project Origin by Monolith Productions. Thank you for listening and hope you enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you.